an ideology that argued that there is no inherent antagonism between labor on the one hand and capital on the other, that argued an individual could begin owning nothing but his labor, and they would have put it within the context of his labor, nothing but his labor, work, use that labor to acquire a small amount of capital and eventually become a member of the middle class or even more. Abraham Lincoln was a perfect example of this, someone who began with virtually nothing but his labor and ended up as a very successful member of the middle class. The Republican Party believed fervently in the notion of a free labor society. Many in the North looked south and saw a section that they believed was holding the nation back. They saw a land of lazy, cruel, violent people who did not subscribe to the ideas that would make the United States great. That is the view many in the North had of the South. Let's shift to the South now. The South was losing ground in population and thus clout in Congress. The railroad, canal, and road networks in the South were underdeveloped compared to those in the North. Cities were fewer and smaller. New Orleans, at 160,000 people, plus or minus a few in 1860, was by far the largest city in the South. There were many cities in the North that dwarfed most of the cities in the South. The South was overwhelmingly agricultural. 80% of its labor force engaged in agriculture. The vast majority of Southern wealth was invested in land and in slaves. Wealthier slaveholders dominated the region politically and socially, and their lands produced key cash crops. They produced cotton and sugar and tobacco and rice. Cotton was the key. Cotton fed Northern and European textile industries. Cotton exports alone gave the United States a favorable balance of trade in the 1850s. Southern religion was also, of course, predominantly Protestant, overwhelmingly Protestant, but it was a more personal kind of Protestantism, concerned less with reforming or improving society and more with individual salvation. Reform movements did not really take root in the South. There's very little of the temperance movement. There is virtually no abolitionist sentiment in the South, at least not spoken sentiment. By the 1850s, really even before that, education lagged far behind Northern standards across most of the South. Now, many white Southerners looked to the North as a region of cold, grasping people who cared little about family and subordinated everything to the process of making money. Slavery was not only a form of labor control in the South, but also the key to the South's social system. Only about a quarter of white Southern families owned slaves, and most of those held five or fewer. Only 12% of the slaveholders, that is 12% of the 25% who owned slaves, had 12 or more slaves, which is one way to divide slaveholders between relatively large and more modest slaveholders. All Southern white people, however, had a stake in the system of slavery because as white people, they were automatically part of the controlling class in the South. No matter how poor they were, how wretched their condition might be, they were superior in their minds and according to the legal and social structures of their society to the millions of enslaved African Americans among them. In an ironic way, all Southern whites, regardless of economic status, were made equal by the fact of slavery. For this reason, and because there was genuine fear of what would happen if large numbers of free black people were to be set loose, as they would put it, to live among them, Southern whites, almost all of them, saw slavery as a necessary and generally good institution. And they reacted very defensively when Northerners attacked it. Now, I think it's important to separate notions about slavery from notions about race. Most white Southerners were intensely racist. Most white Northerners were intensely racist during the mid-19th century. The difference was virtually all of the black people in the United States lived in the South at this time. I mean virtually all of them lived in the South. Whenever enough black people would congregate someplace in the North to pose a threat to the white population of that area, white Northerners often responded almost precisely as white Southerners did. So do not assume that racism is somehow a Southern phenomenon during the 19th century. It's national. So there are differences between the North and the South and the way they're developing.